Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
You all had a good Sabbath?
Yes, sir.
Me too. Sabbath is such a fun time for me. It's the favorite day of the week. And Sabbath to me is a little type of heaven, what we'll experience in heaven. One of my favorite things today was listening to the music, the choir, and the orchestra. And have you ever tried to imagine what it's going to be like to sing in the choir in heaven with several hundred million people and angels? The angels will start singing, and then pretty soon we'll be able to join in with them. Isn't that going to be amazing? And the music in heaven, of course, you know that David, as you read about him in the Bible, he was a very virtuosic piano player as he played on his harp. You know that, right? And when we get to heaven, of course, the Bible says we're going to have perfect bodies. So, of course, that means that we'll have very dexterous fingers. And we can't have perfect bodies unless we have perfect pitch. So we're all going to be starting out up there like little Mozarts, and then we're just going to go from there. And I really can't wait to hear what the music's going to be like there. And there won't be anybody singing off tune to ruin it either. But I've wondered before what I look forward to most about heaven. One of the things that I look forward to in heaven is the church service of the first Sabbath, and especially the sermon. I am quite sure that for the first sermon that we have in heaven, that Jesus is going to be preaching. And I really wonder what he's going to say. Can you imagine to be able to sit down and listen to Jesus preach when we get to heaven? And that's going to be exciting. Of course, today I also was able to see a lot of my friends that I haven't seen for a while and make some new friends. And in heaven, we won't ever have to say goodbye. And there's going to be some really interesting people in heaven that we'll be able to hang out with. Can you imagine in heaven sitting down with Daniel and saying, "Mr. Daniel, what was it like as a teenager to study in the University of Babylon? And you and your three friends being the only ones to stand out, and they were so bold that they were willing to risk their lives just so that they would eat healthy food." And then you could ask Daniel, "So what was it like later when you became the third most powerful man in the kingdom, and then risked your whole career just so that you would stay faithful to God as he opened his windows of his room three times a day and prayed to the God of heaven?" And then I imagine that Daniel will probably turn to you, and then he's going to ask you what it was like to live at the end of the world, the last scenes, last showdown between good and evil at the end of the world, and he's going to ask you what it was like to stand for God in this generation. And what are you going to tell him? And then, of course, open your Bibles to Revelation 22. Of all the things in heaven to look forward to, yeah, it'll be one thing to be able to sit down in session with Daniel. But imagine the time comes when you get to sit down and have a one-on-one with Jesus. Can you imagine that? And as you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus really liked food. He liked sharing food with people. He liked eating with people. And imagine just, you know, being able to take Jesus out to eat. You know, at the Mount of Olives, or taking him out to eat at the Olive Garden, or however you want to say it. We'll have the Tree of Life there. Have the 12 different fruits every month. And I always get in a lot of arguments about what kind of fruit's going to be on that tree. And my friend Jose Rojas says there's going to be 12 kinds of peppers. But he's, I don't agree with him. I think that's wrong theology. But this most amazing verse, you know, the last three chapters of the Bible are like the first three chapters of the Bible in reverse. The whole Bible is the story of God's relationship to mankind. And in the story of Eden, we divorced ourselves from God, separated ourselves from Him, and ever since, God has been working to reconcile us to Himself. And so in the last three chapters of the Bible, you have Adam and Eve and their children back in the face-to-face presence with God, back with the tree of life, back in the garden, the way things were in the beginning. And it says in Revelation 22 and verse 4, it says, "They shall see His face. His name shall be on their foreheads." Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be able to see the face of God and to be able to look into His eyes and to be able to talk with Him one-on-one? And that's exactly what we'll be able to do in heaven. Face-to-face communion with God. Oh, I wish I could see God right now. And that was one of the things we talked about on Monday evening. We can't see God right now. We wish we could. We'll see Him someday soon. But Scripture, God has given us Scripture, and though this book was given to us 2,000 years ago and more, these words that God communicated through the prophets, these words are living. These words are powerful. And this is God's word, so that when you memorize this word and you digest this word, these ancient words change your life. Just like when God said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light, this scripture still has the same creative power. And so, especially as we examine prophecy, and we see that the prophecy has been fulfilled down till today, everything that God has predicted in the history of the world. And what about the rest of what God has predicted? Do you believe that that will also come true?
Yes.
It will. And so you made a decision one evening as I was talking about that to have confidence in Scripture. And I want to remind you a few of the other decisions you've made this week. Talked one night from James 4, verse 4. That verse says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Can we be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time? No. That's why many of us here have made decisions that when we get back home tomorrow, and on Monday, when we get back home, there are things in our bedroom, there are things in our lives that we're going to delete, that we are going to get rid of, that we are going to throw away, so that we can be friends with God, and that's what we're going to live for. And we talked about the next night, success in any line demands a definite says in Education 261, success in any line demands a definite what?
Aim.
That's right. And the highest aim, the highest goal that any of us can have is to take the gospel to the world, to let God's light and His love shine forth to this hurting world. And many of you made a commitment that night that you were willing to go wherever God leads you to share the gospel with the world. And we talked about Thursday night about some of the hard things that happen in our life. Some of the difficult circumstances that we go through, some of the dark days that we face. And many of you made a decision that no matter what happens, no matter how rough the road gets or how dark the day gets, that you're going to trust God no matter what. Are you serious about that decision? Mm-hmm. And we've been making commitments to follow God all along. And specifically last night, many of you made a decision for baptism, which I am so encouraged by, that you would want to take that step and making a full commitment to God in baptism. And so tonight, young disciples, God is looking down from heaven, and the Holy Spirit is with us here tonight as He's been all week. And tonight is your chance to encourage your friends by sharing what God has done for you in your life, specifically this week at Young Disciple Camp. So we've been memorizing about it. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be what? Praised. And so tonight, I know as I've been here this week and as I've been praying and as I've been talking to you, I know how the Lord's been working on your hearts. You've made decisions this week. You've seen God in a new way. And I wonder what Young Disciple Camp would look like to an outsider. You know, I think there's people all over the world that would give a lot to sit, Young Disciple, where you're sitting tonight, right now. They would give a lot to be a Young Disciple. I had a roommate in college, and he went to Afghanistan 7 times. Anybody here ever been to Afghanistan before? And my friend went to Afghanistan. The first time he was there, he was with his mother working with ADRA. And there was a young Afghan man that they were working with. And this Afghan man asked for a New Testament. And they didn't give one to him right away, but he kept asking and asking for a New Testament. They gave him a New Testament. He took the New Testament in the privacy of his room, and he read the New Testament, and he believed in Jesus. And what you have to understand about Afghanistan is it's against the very constitution of the country to convert out of Islam. And so when his family found out that he was reading the New Testament and that he was believing in Jesus, his family decided to kill him. And he had to escape the country. And my roommate spent endless nights in the middle of the night on the phone, spent thousands of dollars smuggling this young man out of Afghanistan into Eastern Europe where he could have religious freedom. Just so that he could have the New Testament and believe in it. There are people all over the world that are facing persecution. When they memorize scriptures, they get put in prison for it. Young Disciple Camp, when you memorize scriptures, you get goodies for it. And that's a beautiful thing. And I wonder if we treasure it like we should. But here at Young Disciple Camp, you have been learning how to have devotions and study scriptures in a meaningful way in deep Bible study class. You've had counselors that are praying with you. You've had food that's healthy and tasty. And God, I just look at you, Young Disciples, and just know that God has just richly blessed you. So as we share testimonies tonight, this is a time to give glory to God and share, encourage others of decisions you've made this week, how God has worked in your life this week. And I've been at these testimony times many times before at Young Disciple Camp myself. And know that many of you want to share. So I encourage you to keep your testimony short so that there's room for everybody. And also remember that you need to tell your counselors thank you and the staff thank you for the many good things they have done for you, but tonight is not the time. You can tell your counselors thank you one-on-one afterwards. Tonight is especially saved for how God has been working in your life. We want to hear from the bottom of your heart how God has specifically been working on you this week and in your life. So if the gentleman, if you want to come forward, you can line up on this side, ladies on this side, and we'll use this mic. Who wants to be first?